The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, January 18th, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 86th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: Tech Times covered the announcement by Intel of their agreement with both the Royal Shakespeare Company and Imaginarium Studios to use motion capture technology in the upcoming production of The Tempest to help present the magic in the play. The Augusta Free Press ran the announcement by Staunton, Virginia's American Shakespeare Center of their 2016-17 artistic year, including Twelfth Night, King Lear, The Rise of Queen Margaret, in other words, Henry VI Part II, The Merchant of Venice, Coriolanus, Romeo and Juliet, and The Two Gentlemen of Verona. Electric Literature ran a piece on a new infographic analyzing Shakespeare's tragedies and how the characters interact with one another. I like the visual, but I'm not sure I get the whole network density aspect. The New York Times ran a story on the death of scholar Sylvan Barnett, the editor of the Signet paperback editions. The San Jose Mercury News ran a story on the recent Shakespeareance presentation of The Winter's Tale, which used an actor decked out in University of California gear as the agent in the most famous stage direction in history, Exit, Pursued by a Bear. It's pretty funny. Punny, too. The BBC was just one of many media outlets carrying the sad news of the passing of actor Alan Rickman. Though primarily known for his roles as Severus Snape in the Harry Potter films and Hans Gruber in the original Die Hard, Rickman was also a two-time member of the Royal Shakespeare Company, appearing in plays including Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, and Antony and Cleopatra. The Guardian also ran a video interview with Rickman, part of the documentary Muse of Fire, a beautiful discussion of performing Shakespeare, something he says you always test yourself against. Broadway World ran the announcement by Philadelphia Shakespeare Theater of their 20th anniversary Shakespeareance season, including main stage productions of Macbeth, Twelfth Night, and The Merchant of Venice, plus a number of other Bard-related shows. The Guardian published a story in a series for this 400th anniversary year with the scenic designer of the recent National Theatre production of All's Well That Ends Well, discussing how they created the fairy tale feel for the show. Really good stuff. Stuff previewed the upcoming production of Twelfth Night, running next month in Invercargill, New Zealand. The Boston Globe previewed the production of Twelfth Night by Filter Theatre, running January 20th through 30th at the Paramount in Boston, Massachusetts, which features a small cast and onstage rock music. Cincinnati.com ran a piece previewing the upcoming production of Henry VI, The War of the Roses Part 1, running through February 13th at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company in downtown Cincinnati, Ohio. This looks to be the first in a series of what they're calling the War of the Roses. Atlanta in Town reviewed As You Like It by Shakespeare Tavern through the end of the month in Atlanta, Georgia, saying it has a fine cast deftly directed. The Denver Post reviewed The Taming of the Shrew by Lost and Found Productions running in Denver, Colorado through last weekend, saying that the reverse gender casting becomes a goofy mashup of modern sensibility and the bard's text. The Telegraph reviewed King and Country, a three-night and one-matinee marathon of the second tetralogy, that's Richard II through Henry V, by Royal Shakespeare Company at the Barbican, giving it 4 out of 5 stars and calling it a remarkable experiment. And finally, DC Metro News reviewed The Complete Deaths of William Shakespeare by Cohesion Theater Company and Baltimore Shakespeare Factory running last weekend in Baltimore, Maryland, calling it a pleasure to watch, start to finish. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On January 13th, 1919, American actor Robert Stack was born. adept at both drama and comedy. He exploited the latter when he appeared in the Jack Benny, Carol Lombard 1942 Ernst Lubitsch-directed film To Be or Not to Be, the title of which, of course, comes from Shakespeare's Hamlet. On January 14th, 83 BC, Mark Antony was born. A Roman general and politician, he served under Julius Caesar and was a member of the ruling Second Triumvirate after Caesar's death. He appears in both Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra. Also on July 14th, 1940, Trevor Nunn, famed British theatrical director, was born. He has in the past been artistic director of both the Royal Shakespeare Company and the Royal National Theatre. On January 15th, 1957, Akira Kurosawa's film adaptation of Macbeth, Throne of Blood, also known as Spiderweb Castle, premiered in Japan, starring Toshiro Mifune as Washizo and acting in a Western style. In contrast to Lady Macbeth's more kabuki style, this has been called Samurai Macbeth. On January 16th, 27 BC, the title Augustus was bestowed upon the first Roman emperor, Octavius Caesar, by the Roman Senate. Octavius plays a minor supporting role in Julius Caesar and a much larger one in Antony and Cleopatra. On January 17, 38 BC, Octavian, nephew to Julius Caesar, married his third and final wife, Livia Drusilla. Octavian, or Octavius, was a character in both Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra, as I just said, and Livia was a killer character in Robert Graves' novel, I, Claudius. On January 18th, 1486, Henry VII married Elizabeth of York. This marriage joined the two warring houses of Lancaster and York, and their two emblems, the red rose and the white rose, respectively, joined to combine and create the Tudor rose. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending January 18th, 2016. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.